100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'm not dead yet, so let's have ourselves another weekly challenge. That's why I post a topic to the site, and you come up with a story. The topic this week was stab. Now, I know a lot of you were expecting something Halloween-y kind of thing, but you can turn stab into Halloween unless you're more into slashing or thrusting or beating or hanging or setting on fire. But you can stab someone after, if you want to. If you want to. If you don't feel like stabbing folks, I think you should sit down, rest a little while, and enjoy these stories. I think you're going to enjoy them, because I told you to. Yes, I told you to. Enjoy these stories. In fact, we've got some stories for you right now. Here's a few stories from Jeffrey. I know, you're surprised. He came in, got the first one. It's not a race, folks. Go for quality, not speed. Quantity is okay. You can send all the ones you want. I mean, look at Singh. He's just making up marathons and cool stuff and putting them all together. And you're the ones that determine the throttle, the quality, the speed. And tell me when to shut up. Oh, here's Jeffrey.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with a few stories for this week's challenge on this topic of stab. Before I start, I wanted to thank you, Thomas, for those wonderful stories we just heard. And, I was here to also to remind Richard not to use the word rubberized again, and I think that should extend to other things like rub down or rubber or even, there's the rub. So none of that, Richard. Anyway, got a few stories, so let me get to them. My first story is called Questions and Answers. Sweat trickled down Billy's armpits as the time ticked away. He needed a good grade on this history test to avoid failing the class and being sent to summer school. That one question, though, he didn't want to leave any blank answers, so he took a stab in the dark. Mrs. Henderson asked Billy to stay after class. "This," she waved the answer sheet in his face, "shows you have no command of the material. What were you thinking when you wrote that Custer's last stand was, and I quote, 'that shack on the beach that's now a t-shirt shop'?" Billy mumbled, "In class, you always say there are no stupid questions." Mrs. Henderson replied, "Yes, but there are stupid answers." My second story is called The Stabbing Game. When we were young, and yeah, maybe a little foolish, my friends would play what we called the stabbing game. Remember Name That Tune? Contestants would bid down the number of notes in which they could name some popular song. I can name that tune in 2 notes. Insane, I used to think. Our version involved a penknife and a dare. Where would you be willing to stab yourself? Highest bidder got to do it and won, well, our admiration. I was a wimp and always picked some small body part. A little finger, or a foot. I never won. Yvonne occasionally got to stab her palm. But the biggest winner was the kid we later called One-Eyed Pete. Now, I usually do just a couple of stories, but since on the last podcast, Lawrence said that, you know, we could be inspired by pretty much anything involving the challenge word, I had an example of what happens when I'm inspired by the letters of the challenge word and not the word itself. So here's a piece of silliness for you. The animal control guy emerged from the attic, covered in dust and ancient cobwebs. "Ma'am, I hate to say this, but I've looked everywhere in your attic, and I don't see any evidence of animals. Usually there'd be droppings at the very least, and most times we'd catch the critters napping at this time of day. But nothing." The lady put a hand on her hips, lit a cigarette, took a drag, and stared at the man. "You idiot! You didn't see an entire bag full of Louisville Sluggers up there? My lazy ex-husband left them up there, and I want them gone." The man said, "Why would you call animal control for something like that?" She replied, It says quite clearly on your truck, bat removal. Now get to it. And that, friends, is why I just stick to the challenge word. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey, not only for those stories, but getting the crosstalk going, because it's all about helping each other write better. Or, if you write really badly, like that dude who made the movie The Room, oh my god, I saw that last night. Ugh, terrible. It's so perfect. It's so perfectly terrible. You should see it. I think it's online. Look up The Room 2003. Trust me, it's bad. It's kind of softcore porn, too, but that stuff doesn't get in the way of the horrible badness. In fact, I think it enhances it. Anyway, if you have kids in the room, show them this, and they'll never become a movie maker. They'll actually become lawyers and doctors, probably not bankers. The crosstalk, you can do that on the comments, you can do that through direct email if you've stolen their email. The links on the show notes point to stuff. If you don't have a link, here's a suggestion. Create an About Me page. About.me. And it's not about me, it's about you. But it's not about.you, it's about.me. Never mind. I don't think there's if there is an internet suffix of .you, maybe they'll be in about.you. Although, that's kind of what FormSpring was. Kind of sick. What? Oh, I should get on with the stories? Right. Thomas, up there from way up there. Way up there. I'm not going to say Squimbabwe. Oh, shit, I just did. I'm trying to save up all my travel days for a possible trip to Italy next year. Dana's like, I want to go to Italy. It's like, okay, which means her sister wants to go to Italy. So I'm not getting in that. So here's Thomas.
Anyone that's read my previous work surmises I will use stabbing pain in at least one of my submissions. No, sorry. I won't. I will, however, take a stab at some stories that do not use stabbing pain and see how I do with a couple of rollicking fables. Let's see, maybe a story about how a friend was stabbed in the heart as a result of losing the love of his life to a cabana boy during a short vacation in Baja. Better yet, an exotic animal fable about the turmoil between two pigs on my uncle's farm. The stab method of Japanese bookbinding was taught by an older woman in her home studio near the shore. She charged a modest fee for the day, which included all the materials, snacks and drinks, and plenty of personal instruction. I made two books that day, and I started on a third. The little books are covered with cloth, have end papers, and are sewn or bound together with waxed sail twine. I treasure them and keep them safe on my bookcase in plastic bags. Someday, someone will be going through my possessions and use them for grocery lists. It just wasn't the knife in my back, it was the size of the knife in my back. Stabbed in the back over a minor quibble with the sister of a student that was visiting my classroom. I asked her what she was doing there and why she couldn't just stay home by herself. She was college age, but there must have been something wrong at home. She had no business being there, but I was in trouble with the female dean, guilty of some trumped-up charge of harassment, so I found myself being asked to resign immediately. I refused. As counselors for the summer camp, each of us was issued a stab vest. A stab vest or stab-proof vest is a reinforced piece of body armor worn under or over other items of clothing, which is designed to resist knife attacks to the chest, back, and sides. Last summer, one of the campers was angry at the lunch menu and attempted to stab three counselors with a sharpened butter knife. The camp, sponsored by the Mormon Church, was used to rehabilitate those that topple monuments in the ancient desert rock formations in the Goblin Valley Park in Utah. Stab. S-T-A-B. Stupid T-A bastard. Is British Army slang for a territorial army soldier. Territorial soldiers come from all walks of life and work part-time as soldiers for the British Army alongside regular soldiers. Lucy Valander spent years denying her feelings of being in the wrong body, joining the Territorial Army when she was 21 in an effort to become more manly. Lawrence used to love firing guns and drank regularly with other members of his squad. Now, as a transgender Muslim woman and married to a Muslim man she met online, Lucy no longer plays with her gun.
Thank you, Thomas. And, you know, I was thinking everyone probably thought stabbing pain and then thought, I'm going to do something other than stabbing pain. And I hope that challenged people. Yes, because it's the weekly challenge. You know, because it's weekly and a challenge. It should be a challenge. It shouldn't be like a walk in the park. Although, if you do your stories while walking in the park, which I sometimes do, I go outside, go to the dog park across the street. Oh, man. Oh, do they have any Night Vale? So I'm going to walk over there a little later and take photographs of the dog park. And I'm going to say, do not go into the dog park. Because it's like totally Night Vale. Yeah, there's a dog park across the street. You don't see any dogs crossing the street because the cars drive real fast. They kill Bruin. The cars, they kill Bruin. Those evil, evil cars. And now I'm one of them. I'll tell you more about that later. How about we get over to John, the Musico Man? He's going to hate me for that. Let's do it again. The Musico Man. Okay. Just don't make that your ringtone. That would be kind of creepy.
Internet Date, a short story by John Musico. I thought, with the right catch, you are sure to become successful, wealthy, and happy. She was a perfect specimen, young and strong, and in this day and age, I must add, free of disease. I looked down on her nude body adoringly as she lay peacefully. My piqued anticipation was such that I had to steady my hands from trembling. I opened my bag of toys that I had brought for this evening's desire. The ice in her bathtub began to melt where she lay face down. After the precise incisions, extracting her kidneys was easy. A perfect harvest.
You know, that's the latest craze in the party scene. I gotta tell you. Oh, sorry. Make sure that, you know, you don't waste the ice. You can use it to put bottles of vodka in there to chill out for the after party. Or beer. Or sides of beef if you're having a barbecue. Oh, I should probably send that privately. Oh, thank you, John. And party at John's house. I gotta tell you, Audacity 2.0.5 has just been released. It's a lot more stable on the Mac. I'm not having crashies or explodies or corrupties or any of that. So if you're using Audacity, I think I sent the note out in show notes earlier this week in a link. But Audacity 2.0.5, which means 2.0.6 is probably on the way and it will corrupt everything else. Maybe I should be using that. What's that thing for the Mac that everybody uses? The thing in the garage with the band. A garage band. I still haven't learned that yet. And I've been using this thing for, well, it's free. Well, not really free. I mean, if I break it, I'm sure that work will be like, oh, you go pay for it. You know what I spent all my money on? No, not a new computer or desktop, which I probably should. Gina's got an, what is it called? Not an excursion. Is it an Odyssey? I don't know what the hell it is. It's like a Blazer, only it's the brand new one. It's not an Avalanche. Silverado was too freaking huge for her. So she went with an Odyssey, and I think it's an Odyssey. It's the cute little one, but it's got four doors and a bit of a hatch, and it's got like all these robot things and Bluetooth, and you can remote start it and everything. So she's like thrilled because she hasn't had a new car in like 15 years. So all these things and navigation, and we accidentally hit the emergency OnStar thing, and they're like, "Are you dead? Are you dead?" And I'm like, "Not yet." She's got that, and then I'm buying her Blazer off of her. So fuck you, Metro, and the hell with the 9, the 17. Yeah, I could have bought a car all this time, but I didn't want to waste money on a new or an unknown used car, but her truck has been so reliable for her that, you know, I'll buy that off of her, and now she can get a new toy, and I helped her get that. It's her birthday present, so. Have I rambled enough? Yes, I have. We're only three stories in, and I've completely lost the train. So let's get back on the track with Zach Mann, otherwise known as Get Back on the Track Man.
Welcome to Mundania General. Please tell us about your injury. Oh my, you are bleeding and your leg has turned white as paper. Tell me, what happened as you fill out these forms? The receptionist returns Charlie's insurance card attached to a clipboard. I had to fight the evil wizard, who may not actually have been evil, but still thought it inconvenient for me to live. As I thrust my blade through his chest, he plunged the tail of a small demon into my calf. I fear it has to be amputated, because I wasn't just sliced, I was impaled.
Thank you, Zach, man. And that gave me an idea. Why can't they just, you know, if you have all your information on your phone or a USB fob or whatever, why can't you just wave that card or whatever over like an iPad at the hospital and all that automatically fills out? Because they always ask you the same crap over and over and just focus on the injury. Like, here's all my info. Boom. Review it. Okay, can you see it all on the iPad? Is that you? Is that all your info? Good. Okay, let's go. Why can't the insurance... All that privacy shit just means you're filling out forms while you're bleeding to death. When I broke my elbow, I had all this crap. Fill this out, fill that out, fill the... When they asked me the same kind of crap over... I mean, I know it's to check and see if I have a concussion or whatever, but I didn't have a freaking concussion. What I needed was drugs for the pain for those 5 hours in the ER. 5 hours waiting, stacked up, and then they eventually, you know, admitted me. It's like, yeah, your elbow's broken. They didn't tell me that for 4 hours after the x-rays. Your elbow's broken. And then my battery almost ran out on the phone. And, well, you know all that story. If you don't, you're new to the podcast. Just assume I complain a lot. So, what's next? Who's next? Who's out there? Who am I overlooking? Who's coming up? Muncie! Oh my god. Alright, so we're going to learn more about the thrilling adventures of, you know, waitering or waitressing or table service. What's the proper term these? Ground stewardess? I don't know. I'm not hip and keen on these things. I only just got... I bought a used car. I'm going to get so much more fat.
Greetings, fun boy. Munzee here with an apology for you all. I am so, so sorry. October just kind of got on top of me. Plotting NaNoWriMo for next month, Halloween. And before I knew it, the month was almost over. I only just realized that I'd totally forgotten to kill you in horrifically ironic ways in order to extract my terrible but vaguely motivated revenge. That was inappropriate of me, and while I know it's too late to kill you now, I hope you will accept my apology. Also a story. I hope you'll accept that, too. A pep talk. Part 2. Waiting tables isn't tough once you get the hang of it. When things become stressful, Just remember my simple 4-step process, and it will get you through. See to your guests' every need, want, and desire. Treat them like you'd want to be treated, were they in your place. Anticipate requests, so you can give them what they want before they even know they want it. Be friendly. Above all else, be friendly. In short, stab them. Stab the customers who sit in your section. Stab every single one of them, and make it clear, I will stab you. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Happy Halloween, fun boy! But while you're out there Halloweening, be ever vigilant of the Halloweenies, because they're after your sweet, sweet blood candy. And just because I forgot to kill you, doesn't mean they will.
See, folks? It's all about the love here on the 100 Word Stories podcast. Oh, thank you, Munzee. And you can stab me if you want. I mean, it's not going to hurt that too much for very long. Unless, of course, you miss any vital organs or conduits for blood. What are those called? Oh, vessels. Wait, a vessel is something you put things into, but a blood vessel is where it transports through. You would think it would be like a blood pipe or a... But vesicle, I don't know. It's been a while since I've had one of those biological classes or something. It's not like I have a degree in it. Oh, wait. I freaking do. Yeah, this is what happens when you get a biology degree and you don't go into med school. Yeah. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be podcasters or singers. Or sorry, 5 stories in... 5 writers in. We've had more than 5 stories. What I should do is shut up and just tell you, hey, guess what? Spate's back, and he's got a brand new microphone. I swear he's going for a microphone a week. He's kind of like me in Bluetooth headsets, which reminds me, I need to get a Bluetooth headset. The truck, the Blazer, has like a cassette. Although, I did get a brand new cassette this weekend. Oh my God. Flying Fish Sailors had their 25th anniversary, the band. You know, the band. And they were Mucky Duck and, you know, all drunk. But they were giving out old cassettes of their stuff, which it's one of my favorite albums. And the truck has a cassette player. So it's perfect. It is perfect timing. It is, but it's a collector's piece. So, shit. And I didn't get anyone to sign it. Crap. Well, it's a give me coffee, so what I'm going to do is the next Geek Gathering, which I have a truck now so I can go to, and I'm going to bring a little coffee pod, have Jay Lee sign the coffee pod, and then it'll be with the cassette, and I'll be happy. See, always thinking. Oh, right, I should probably play Spate's story. Sorry, I got off on a tangent.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Nipping It in the Butt. And here it is. It was a strange twist of fate that left John living a life of cliches, but he managed to go with the flow. Like when his Dodge Dart died on a backwoods road, of course he found the farmhouse, with the farmer, and the farmer's daughter. You probably guessed it, one thing led to another with the daughter, until a stab in the dark by the farmer abruptly ended that roll in the hay. You should have seen the look on John's face, caught with his pants down, pitchfork protruding from his posterior. That's one picture worth 100 words.
Holy freaking son of a bitch. That sounded beautiful, Spate. Are you using any kind of... Okay, so what suite are you using, man? And do you have that... Okay, there's a windscreen for it. This is the audio... Let's see, let's look this up. No, stop it. Yeah, no, give me the... Okay, Audio Technica ATR2100 USB cardioid dynamic USB XLR microphone. Wow, that sounded great, man. I'm adding that to my wish list. And what did I end up buying with all of my Amazon credit? That's right. I bought a Millard Fillmore album. Oh, but it was beautiful. It sang along with Millard Fillmore. My, it's list price 80 down to 36. Holy shit. Yep, I'm buying that. And then the Values Bundle Store. So what can I get with my Values Bundle Store? So the Featured Product Values Bundle Store. the Samson Meteor mic. No, I don't want that. I already have a mic stand. I just don't use it. And I've got, like, that killer microphone that I never hook up because the preamp isn't right. So do you use the USB or the XLR? Because I've got an XLR cable here somewhere. I just need to bother with the preamp. Wow, that sounded great. Does this sound adequate compared? Does it? I mean, it all sounds like crap when I reduce it to 64K, I know. But I've been looking for a decent, you know, I have the microphone stand. Probably need the windscreen. Hold on. So, add both to wish lists. All right, so on stage foam ball microphone. So, there we go. All right, and do I have the stand? And there, there's a gooseneck stand. That would be nice. I'm going to add that to my wish list, too. That way all the geese will be happy. So, yeah, I may get one of those. See? Everybody's happy. Then I can put in the headphones, the little beady headphones, and then wear those. You see, it's strategy. That's going to be my Christmas gift to myself. When's Christmas? You know, I'm seeing it all on the ABC specials and all that. You know, Halloween isn't over yet, and they're already talking about Christmas. Fuck you, ABC family. So, yeah, it's coming. Or if anyone wants to buy it for it. No, wait, I can't do that. Because this is a very solidly amateur podcast. I'm not doing it for the money. No, keep your filthy, stinking money. No tips. There's no tip jar. There used to be, but I realized, no, I'm going to do this for the pure. Email me privately if you're interested in giving that. So, shut up. Play the record. Okay, so here's Spate. No, I already did Spate. Can you tell I've got Bailey's in the coffee? But I just play Richard. Richard, get me away from this.
Hi, everybody. Here are my stories for this week on the subject of STAB. First is called Back Down to Earth. Pondering how he should proceed with his conquest of Emily, George found himself unexpectedly reeling when a sudden stab of conscience brought home to him the realization that he was thinking like a savage. This is how society breaks down, he admonished himself, shocked at how easily he'd allowed his morals to fall victim to baser instincts. Silently he cursed his weakness. If he and his comrades were to survive, it wouldn't be through indulging in selfishness. They'd need teamwork and a common cause. It would be difficult, but he knew it was possible. At least, he hoped it was. This one's called Watch Your Back. Be careful how you choose your friends. Be sure you can trust them, and they won't let you down in a crisis. Do as I say, not as I do. I'm a hopeless judge of character. Many times I've relied on so-called friends, who turned out to be the complete opposite when the going got tough. These days, I expect to have my trust betrayed and be left shouldering the blame. I can spot the signs a mile off. And when I do, rather than protest, plead, and reason, I simply turn my back and wait for the knife. And my final story this week is called Well Prepared. Packing for the holiday was proving to be more traumatic than usual. Clothes, sunblock, toiletries, mosquito repellent, stab vest. Honey, why the stab vest? We're going to Disneyland, not Afghanistan. You can never be too careful. Who knows what we might come across when we get there? I'd rather be overprepared than caught out in an emergency. Don't you think you're taking things a bit too far, though? It's Disneyland, for heaven's sake. Nobody ever got stabbed in Disneyland. You're not going to get stabbed in Disneyland. Damn right I'm not. Just as long as I'm wearing this baby. That's all I've got for you. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. I'm not going to go all gaga over your recording setup, but you probably got a good one too. In fact, folks, put in the comments what recording setups you use and what software you use, please, or whatever. Let me know. I'm looking to do a little better. And how hard is it to get all this working in GarageBand so I can waste 10 hours on Sunday making this the highest quality production ever known to man? Yeah, I'm going to spend that kind of time during football season. Yeah, I know. Baseball season, then football season, then don't give a shit about basketball. Who gives a crap about hockey anymore? Is there any decent sports in February, really? College basketball? Well, college basketball can be fun because, you know, they're all showboating and trying to overachieve. And the grievous injuries. What? I shouldn't be laughing at that? Okay. What I should be laughing at, though, is we have Tom here. Yay! Everybody dance! No, I don't like the way that cartoon goes. Hits too close to home. Here's Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom, sort of here. I'm sick. So the story this evening is that was the last thing on his mind. He felt a stabbing pain in his arm, sufficient enough to make him pause. That was followed by a stabbing pain in his chest that brought him to his knees. The world turned all shimmery gray, then black, then a dull red. A stabbing pain in the shoulder caused him to snap his head backwards. A troll-looking creature was prodding him forward with a spear. "Oh, hell," said Timmy. "Got that right, Slim," chortled Troll Boy, applying another jab. Sulfur and brimstone blurred his vision. Through his tears, he could make out their destination. A flashing neon sign read, "Bingo."
Tom, get well soon. Thank you for the stories. And stay the hell away from bingo parlors. People touch those things. Ugh. So where's Rolling in the Deep? He always has that in the background. Maybe I should play that at the end of the... No, we'll just leave... That's his music. Do you have your kind of music? You should include it in the background. It's really easy in Audacity. If you've got a Mac, your library's there. You just go to Music, and then you drag it in, and boom. And now Audacity 2.0.5 actually works. Although if you have GarageBand, this is probably all automatic. Or some high-dollar podcasting suite. You would think after 8.5 years I would bother with that? No. And the thing is, all my pre-recorded stories, I've got just a few left, and then I've got 2 years of stories to record. I don't know what my strategy is going to be. I may record them when I get home and then post them, but then you don't have them to enjoy during the day. I should record them the night before, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what I end up doing. Or maybe doing an entire week at one fell swoop, because we all love fell swooping. Well, whatever. Here's Julie is back, and she's got a happy one. Yeah, I had you fooled. Here's Julie and her story.
Hi, you guys. It's Julie. This is my second week doing 100-word stories, and this one's called Stab. One day last year, you fell while walking the dog. "I'm just dizzy," you said. "Inoperable brain tumor," the doctor proclaimed. Nothing worked. Rachel fed you while your companion went to work or chose not to deal. She curled in bed near you, stabbing your favorite food, and kept your mind off the inevitable. That's what sisters do. It happened too fast. 49 days she didn't leave and held your hand when you died. Rachel sent off sparkly red balloons into the sky, along with your ashes into Long Island Sound. We will pretend it's the Aegean. Thanks for listening. That's for Russ.
Yes, a long-distance dedication here on 100-word stories for Russ. Oh, sorry. Probably inappropriate. Which you people kind of expect from me. Thank you, Julie, and sorry to hear about Russ. Although, is that the Russ that you... I can't remember. I need to write all this down. Oh, wait, I do. And then the paper gets recycled. This corner of the room has, like, Pez dispensers everywhere. I should probably put them up on the shelves, but there's no shelf space. Ooh, I know what I can do. Now that I have the truck, I can go to IKEA and get more shelf. Yes. Oh, this is shaping up to be nice. Then I've got a gigantic lobster. I need to bring the lobster in. It'll be support lobster. The old support lobster was taken cruelly by David. He took it home, I think, yes, because he needed a companion. I hope he washes it before he brings it back. One thing that you do need to wash before you bring back is, of course, dangerous, dangerous Cliff. Well, he said dangerous in his thing. Or did I say that last week? I don't know. Maybe he's safe. A perfectly safe Cliff. Wouldn't that be fun? A sign by a cliff that says, "This cliff is perfectly safe. Stand. Stand by the edge." I really do want to get some Night Vale. I'm not supposed to put a bumper sticker on the truck. She was like, "You have to name it and give it a little kiss because it's so nice." And it's like, really? I want to put a bumper sticker on there from Night Vale. Guns don't kill people. People kill guns. Right. Here's Cliff.
Well, that doesn't work. Yeah, it does. Zach was a hustler. He'd do anything for a buck as long as it was illegal, as he felt that honest work was for suckers. He cheated at cards. He ran small cons in bars. He once sold a truck to 3 different people. It wasn't even his truck. His conscience finally got the better of him. He convinced Sarah that he loved her and would marry her if she could just help him pay off a debt. She did, and the guilt made him commit suicide. Stabbed himself in the chest 30 times, according to Sarah's dad, the sheriff. And here's another story with the subject of stab. Mr. Anderson, the owner of the hardware store, stared me in the eye. "Guns are for cowards. Anyone can shoot a gun. Point, pull the trigger, bang. There's no art, no sport to it. If you really want to know what death is like, you gotta stab him. You gotta watch his eyes as you slide a blade between his ribs and into his heart. If you want it to last a while, try to just get the lungs. Slow and painful. You know, if he deserves it. Thanks, but I need a caulk gun. I'm fixing my bathtub."
Thank you, Cliff. So I'm going to read through the bumper stickers here. "Guns don't kill people. It's impossible to be killed by a gun. We're all invincible to bullets, and it's a miracle. Guns don't kill people. We are all immortal souls, living temporarily in shelters of earth and meat. Guns don't kill people. Blood loss and organ damage do. Guns don't kill people. People kill guns. If you say guns kill people one more time, I will shoot you with a gun and you will coincidentally die. A list of things that kill people. Conceivably anything. Not guns." So, which one should I get? It's $10.50 plus shipping. I don't care, they're fun. And that'll be nice. You know, a little quality thing. Maybe I can give my wife one of those. Now that she has a new vehicle. Okay, the Night Vale Community Radio intern shirt. And it's red. That's just... Right. New Night Vale in a few days, by the way. The last one was really good. So they've turned it around. Who next? Tura Bergianu. Tura Bergianu, not the intern. Let's have a look.
There was once a fisherman who fell on bad luck. He vowed to make one last trip to sea, and if he caught nothing, he would drown himself. All day he cast his nets and drew them back empty, but on his last cast it took all his strength to haul them in. Yet he found nothing but an old bottle sealed with lead. In rage, he shattered it on the deck, and from it emerged a genie. "Your wish is my command," it intoned. "Well, stap me vitals," exclaimed the astonished fisherman. And so his luck finally ran out.
Aw, poor fisherman. Those fishermen always get the raw end of the deal. Thank you, Tura. Should we take up a collection for the fishermen? All right. Send your contributions to the fishermen through Tura Bregianu at your major email exchanges. Okay, Tura, I'll take 50%. What? Oh, we've got some more. God, really? Do I have to? I think Daylight Savings Time ended for some parts of the world, so congratulations to you who have survived Daylight Savings Time these past few harrowing months. Welcome back to regular time. Okay. Do we have more? Yeah, we do have more stories. We've got some from Sing, who continues his epic long tale of... What was the title again? The Foreign Madam and the White Yogi. I will never, ever make a proper introduction, will I? I'm sorry. I'm truly, deeply sorry. Here's Sing.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, Part 2, Chapter 16, by Chris Mooney Singh. As Madam struggles to assert herself as principal in the village school, Yogi has been unsuccessfully trying to meditate by the Ganges. His wandering mind keeps distracting him. Then the hot pre-monsoonal winds arrive, and the whole region is plunged into chaos. Will his hut still be there? Is this an excuse for him to stop the charade and leave the river? It was clear that Yogi had some work to do. The collapse of his grass castle was perhaps a blessing, she thought, although she would not say outright and crush his heart. The winds had come and kicked him in the gut, but had they knocked sense into his head? Calamities were a stab in the back of the farmer's faith in clement weather, whose turbulent face hid the will of God. Here, they were next day's business to be set right. But what would Yogi do? Return to the river? Clear his mind of clods and plant fresh thoughts? And so the women got down again with Gober, redoing compound surfaces, restoring chullas, the squat-down ovens made from mud and dung. They fetched and carried, picked up and put down. They shunted husbands off to the fields and brought some food and drink at midday. Then they came back to eat some, scrub pots with ash, take a nap before the sibling squabbles would start up. They were the domestic goddesses of grit, with shit up under fingernails, and yet lost it washing and scrubbing daily clothes, which also gave them time alone with water. Revived, they came back to peel the vegetables, crush the ginger, onions, garlic and chili mix to be fried flavour for the evening pot of dal. They cooked on hot plates, throwing down their rounds of chapatis made from wheat ground on a stone. Margot still held back from kitchen gossip time. She had come to teach, not to be the slave of dough. After all, Yogi was deft with food. She washed the cups, the dishes, and steel pots while he sat down on the bed of tali wood with a thin mattress and pulled out from its dusty case his guitar. But what to do with Yogi? Next morning, she brought him to school. "Now play on your guitar," she asked. He settled on a hessian bag and sang a self-made tune for Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, the mantra he had learned from devotees at a North Coast ashram. He had busked his way across the continent and had arrived here now to sing with Krishna's kids. It was a charming switch, a stab in a new direction. He had a knack with groups, and just maybe he might also be taught to teach, she planned ahead. So he became a hit with school kids after lunch. He chanted simple Sanskrit, mixing in his English. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. To the elephant surrender, surrender to the elephant. They parroted back, singing out of tune. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. To the elephant surrender, surrender to the elephant. Squirrels ran up and down the tree trunk where he sat, and minor birds were busy keeping tabs on bugs, while out in the fresh fields where the tractor had just ploughed, the herons stepped and stabbed into the sandy land with beaks like darning needles, threading strings of worms. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. Sharanam Ganesha, Sharanam Ganesha, Sharanam Ganesha.
Thank you, sing. Ooh, Feline just put up a happy photo of Newton, the big fluffy orange cat. Let us favorite it. I haven't taken many photos of the cats this past week. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Well, thank you, Sing. And I'm just horribly distracted this week. Just clicking and all that. I'm using the laptop monitor for Audacity, and then the big TV is just browsing and surfing and stuff. Stuff, I tell you. And the weekly challenge project folder, which I drag stuff from. You know, two monitors. No waiting. Coffee. My waking up late on Sundays means that I'm at 10 o'clock Texas time right now. Right now as I'm recording this. And it's raining so much I can't do laundry. I can't do laundry. But I have enough for this week. And I can always get home early, which, now that I drive, should be easily possible. What? I should do something for serendipity? All right, I'll do a dance. But not while the recording is going. Serendipity, you play the tunes, I'll bring the dance. And the soda pop.
Stab victims are boring. Give me a juicy gunshot through the head. Or a decent drowning, with a bloated corpse and fish-nibbled flesh. Better still, how about a good old-fashioned plunge from a high rise? You just can't beat a nice splat, with a generous helping of scattered body parts. A simple stabbing, though. Not that much to it. Entry wound. A nick to a vital organ. And that's all. Finished. Boring. Unless you can give me a proper, frenzied, all-out knife attack, with multiple wounds and plenty of blood. Now that's what I call a stabbing.
Well, looks like you're having a fun weekend there, Serendipity. You need a mop. Thank you, Serendipity. See, this is where I start speeding things up, you know? Folks are like, I really want to get this posted and done so I can go out and play in the rain and there isn't any snow. I'm up to 7 backlogged games in Words with Friends. I know I'm playing like 19 at once. You know, if you play me at Words with Friends, you'll see like, oh my god, in the standings, it's so many points. That's because I'm playing 19 games. My average sucks. I've got about, 60, 55% victory rate. I'm really not that good. Oh well. Or maybe I just play people who are way too smart. Jan R? Holy crap. Beats the snot out of me. I figure Chelly is cheating, though. I mean, some of the shit she comes up with. Here, some of the stuff that Danny comes up with. Right now.
Ah, take 3. Here we Weekly Challenge 392. Stab. A.K.A. Halloween Hijinks. I'll take a stab at it, George exclaimed, pulling out his carving knife and taking a stab at the pumpkin. The pumpkin screamed back. My God, you stabbed me! The pumpkin suddenly sprouted arms and legs, grabbed George's carving knife, and started to stab at George, who started to run. It's time for you to die, meat bag, the enraged pumpkin screamed. Who are you, George screamed back. I'm the devil, sneered the pumpkin. Here for your soul. As long as I can run faster than you, pumpkin, I'm grateful you do not have an AK-47.
There you go. Take 3. You don't want to hear how many takes I do of this. Oh, just... Take 78. Need more coffee. Speaking of which, I need more coffee. I need a coffee caddy for this table. The condensation is getting on the base of it. Or get K-cups or something. Right. Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to go out driving. I'm going to go to the grocery store or something. Maybe I'll get a donut maker, you know, to make sure that I reach 500 pounds by the end of next year. Speaking of someone who won't be reaching 500 pounds by the end of next year, I say that a lot. Speaking of, and then the stupid thing I said, and then lead right into the next person. Have you caught that formula yet? After almost 400 weekly challenges, you still haven't? You'll never learn. Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 392 with the prompt of stab. So here's my story. Smoke hung thick against the low ceiling of the inn's common room. Two assassins bent across a small table, so close their hoods almost touched. No one paid their whispered conversation any heed, until the smaller of the two drew back and stabbed a knife into the tabletop. They turned back to their own business when the second stood and pulled the knife back out. "You'll be sorry you chose as you did," he said, dropped the knife onto the table, turned, and left the inn. "You're likely correct," the other said, slipping the knife back into her belt. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, and thank you doubly for giving me info on Flypaper Boy. I'll think it over. I'll think it over. Maybe. Maybe. Although, really? Do we have to stick to the canon of Flypaper Boy? Can't we just imagine, extrapolate, maybe in a parallel universe of Flypaper Boy? Takes effort. Right. I shouldn't complain. Instead, I should just go straight to Justin, who sent in this story.
Near Space Turtle. Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. Up next, after me, we're going to have Norval Joe, because I'm turning this one in earlier than normal. So let's see if I get that right. This game, seems like I might have done a story on this game before, but that would require searching. I don't want to do that. Dark Corners of the Earth, a Lovecraftian Cthulhu-inspired game. It's actually really good. So I had an idea where I could write the story like 15 times, and each time until the last one is where I die, because this scene in the game, I played a whole bunch and kept dying and dying and reloading, dying. And it was one of those great ones with the cutscene. They had to watch every single time because you couldn't skip it. Ugh, hated that. But I just decided to explain it instead of writing it a bunch of times. Excuse me. Still too late. Alrighty. I peered from the vent shaft into the room. There was a desk and a chair in the subterranean chamber. Two people walked in wearing hoods. They spoke, their voices mushy, speaking of plans and machinations. These were the evil behind Innsmouth and the Marsh Refinery. After a minute, only the tall person remained to see me fall when the grate broke. He wasn't human, not with that face. I pulled a knife from the desk and ran around the room dodging claws and teeth, then in a moment, I used all my strength to shove the blade into his heart.
Thank you, Justin, and you're wrong. Norval Joe actually sent one in before you. Just, isn't this a fun game? People are still playing it. I love it. Maybe we should keep this up. Just wild guess of who comes before or after, and if you get it right, you'll get nothing. Although I should make bumper stickers. I listen to the 100 Word Stories podcast, and you shouldn't. No, really, send in a design. Maybe I'll produce it. Maybe I'll give those away. Mail them out. How's them apples? Wouldn't that be cool? Make sure they fit in a business envelope, because I can, get those easily. My God, how much do stamps cost these days? That's just nuts, man. That's just freaking nuts. $1 a stamp for first-class mail? Or is it $5 now? What the hell? What the hell? And all we ever get delivered are catalogs and the occasional belated birthday card and bills, bills, miles of bills. I shouldn't be getting any bills. All of my stuff's supposed to be electronic. If it's medical bills, I paid them all off. It's all done. I get these stupid mailed notices for, you've changed your retirement plan to include 100% PIMCO. Enjoy watching your money not grow. Just, what the hell is wrong with them? Frickin' 401ks. At least I get matching. And then that'll tide me off until I can retire at like 55, 56. And then at 65, the big windfall comes from all the other crap. And I'm done. Then I'll let my stories be published. Because then I won't care. Also, I need to save up a lot of money for the lawsuits that'll result. Coffee. Publisher's been getting on my case. Big plans. Hope you're listening. Leave me alone. I'm a grumpy, middle-aged, fat dude. Got enough of those in your lineup. Oh, we can choose this and this and this. We will crush you. Good. Now I can sit in my chair on Sunday in my underwear and just enjoy the day. Oh, there's football later, too. I'll have to move to the sofa. Speaking of moving to the sofa, guess who came in at the last minute? That's right, Lizzie Goodcough. Thank goodness. I was worried. I was literally worried. And I worry about Steven Soss because he's not here this week. And Batgirl's been taking a long, long break. And other people out there that have vanished that I'm worried about. I do worry about you. Even if you haven't sent in a story in forever, just check in with me. Tell me you're all right. Although there's no way that you're going to listen 1 hour into this thing and then catch this message. So maybe I should post something. So anyway, here's Lizzie. She's all right. She's okay. I know you've been worried. Here she is.
Stabbing that pile of rubbish wasn't such a brilliant idea. It looked like a harmless heap of trash leaking a gooey matter that seemed like something coming from the remains of a dead animal. The kids goofed about, throwing the knife they stole from the butchers at each other first. Then, considering the real danger of such a game, they decided to stab the stack of unusual bags. When it suddenly turned around, spitting gooey stuff all over them, it was already too late. They were all the nourishment that alien needed to complete its transformation to become a human. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com. And check ires.me, where I'm publishing today the last chapter of a flash fiction story based on photographs taken by bloggers and photographers in Second Life. I hope you enjoy it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You see? She's branching out. And she's circling around with those Vanessa Blaylock IRES people. Isn't that neat? It's great, the people and places you will go if you participate and engage with 100 word stories. Otherwise, take it to frickin' Drabblecast, you bastard. Oh, I'd better edit that out. Right, how about I bring about the end of this podcast in some sort of Ragnarok fashion by playing you a story by Planet Z? Wouldn't that just hit the spot? Well, if it wouldn't, too bad. Here he comes.
In Dungeons & Dragons, thieves and assassins get a damage bonus when they stab someone in the back. However, they can only use certain weapons, like daggers and short swords. They cannot use pole arms or crossbows or sofa cushions. That's right, you cannot backstab someone with a sofa cushion. But if you want to kill someone with a sofa cushion, you need to catch them asleep. Then smother them with it. You can't do that with a dagger or short sword, can you? Or with a pole arm or crossbow. Nope. And you can't cushion your sofa with them, either.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories about stab, stab, stab. I think that'll get you in the Halloween mood, but if you aren't in the Halloween mood already with those stupid ABC Family specials and that god-awful Hocus Pocus movie, well, I'm telling you, you just have no soul. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week. Whether you sent in a story, you commented in the feed at OneADayUntilTheDayIDie.com, whether you shared it with people on the tweets or the Facebooks or the Google Pluses, really, can't you just hit a goddamn plus one? Please, give me some candy! I think that's it. The topic next week is voice. All the upcoming topics are laid out for you in the latest Here's the Upcoming Topic post. You can see that at the site. I guess that's about it. I'm going to be doing a reading this afternoon of spooky Halloween stories at Boo Fest. Yeah, I know. I miss Boo. He was a good boy. But still, that just gets Tinny jealous, which is good. Little shit. I'll see you all next week. Until then, thank you all for being a part of this. And, as always, keep it brief.